This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
The last couple of months has been a little chaotic and a little hectic, like it always is this time of year, with annual parish meeting and vestry retreat, and with the saying goodbye and the saying hello of new staff members. And with some personal travel thrown into the midst of all that, I found myself feeling a little underwater and kind of behind. And so this week I canceled a bunch of meetings and finally sat down with email to see how many apologies I was going to have to actually make. And so I read through all those back emails and I read through some back texts and read through some back phone messages. And you know, it's interesting, the work of the church just kind of cranks along, but the thing that is the besetting fear of every priest in the world is that we're going to miss some important pastoral message, something that somebody needed. And so as I read through that and I saw the pastoral messages and the work, it occurs to me that our community is particularly going through a lot right now. More than normal, you have been receiving doctor's appointments that you didn't want and diagnoses that you were not expecting. You have lost your spouses. You are hearing from family in Myanmar who are suffering from the earthquake. You are struggling with what to do in the world. And, you know, and you're carrying the same fear that we all carry every minute the Texas legislature is in session. Right? And we worry and we fret. There's so many things going on. Some of it's great, some of it's terrifying. And with all the chaos and change that's going on in the world, there's just a lot of need and anxiety and worry. And underneath all of that, there is this one question that keeps rising to the top. What am I supposed to do? What are we supposed to do in response to this? What do I do when I get the phone call from the doctor? What do I do when I hear about my friend who is sick? What do I do when I hear about earthquakes? What do I do when things are going on that scare me, that frighten me, when I'm excited about what's happening? How are we supposed to respond to all this? And actually, I find a response to that quite helpful today as we celebrate the feast of Cesar Chavez. It was lovely of Gustavo to read to us that beautiful prayer that he wrote. And if you look at it again in your bulletin, he gives us two anchors in that prayer that I think are actually pretty helpful as we face this question. What are we to do? He starts with a bold punch in the gut in his prayer, doesn't he? The very first petition. Show me the suffering of the most miserable so that I will know my people's plight. Oof. Do you have the courage to pray that prayer? Show me all the pain. Show me what's out there so I can see what the need is. But actually, I wonder this. You know, we offer prayers about the things with which we struggle. So I wonder about him. I wonder about all the work that he did with migrant workers and all the work that he did mid last century to organize them, to make sure that they were, to stop the exploitation of workers and all the work, getting them together and making sure that they're fed and paid and that they have a voice in the world. Surely that's exhausting work. And I wonder if he was tempted to turn away. And so the first petition in his prayer is, no, don't let me turn away. Let me see. I think about so many occasions in his life where he might have been tempted to turn away. All those, you know, he and Fred Ross traveled all around trying to gather together community organizations who would do this work. And it would go really well as long as they were there, but as soon as they left, about half of those organizations would just peter out and die. How frustrating is that? So he prayed, show me the suffering, so I can stay engaged. You know, he was working so hard that once he was out of town for the birth of one of his children, surely he thought, I'm going home. This is not. So he prayed, show me the suffering. I wonder how many times he thought about stopping on that 300-mile walk across California to Sacramento in a protest when his feet started causing agonizing pain and he continued to walk and he was leaning on Cain and his friends, surely it was then he thought, I have enough. And that's when he prayed, show me the suffering. But you know, you can't do suffering all the time. You can't even do your own suffering all the time, can you? I mean, your own pain and suffering that you have, finally you just don't have you don't have it. You've got to do something else. So he has other petitions in this prayer, but note about two-thirds of the way down this prayer, this one, bring forth song and celebration so that the Spirit will be alive among us. It's kind of not a prayer you would expect for someone doing the hard, important work he was doing. You would expect a serious man, no? He says, bring forth song and celebration, because we can't do this all the time. And so show us beauty, show us love, show us joy, show us things that are magnificent in this world. So this beautiful juxtaposition of this prayer, of both of these things. Both give me the courage to see and to respond to the things that are out there. And then give me the wisdom to see the beauty and love and joy that is also in the world. We can put a little theological muscle behind this as we turn to the 2 Corinthians passage. We didn't read it today, but it's assigned for today. But it's familiar. You'll know it. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul is talking about we no longer see one another from a human point of view. Because God has reconciled the world to God's self, so we see one another as reconciled. God has reconciled us to God in Christ. Be therefore, he says, reconciled. I love it. God has done this already, so you be that person. Be a reconciled person. Reconciled to God in Christ. And then we become, he says, ambassadors of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors of reconciliation. So we can simultaneously step into the pain and suffering in our life, honestly, openly. And we can embrace the joy and pleasure of this world. Happily. And lovingly. And we can reconcile these things because we are ambassadors of reconciliation. Because while there is great suffering, even the suffering are more than their suffering. And even the suffering that you experience in your life is more than the suffering. You are in fact a new creation. Even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of the uncertainty and the fear, you are a new creation. You are reconciled to God. So we can resist the temptation of turning away completely, and we can resist the temptation of allowing it to consume us completely. And we can do both. We can simultaneously embrace the suffering. And whatever version that looks like in your life. So it means you got to respond to the text when your friend tells you they're sad. It means you need to answer the call. It means you go. When you don't know what to do, and you show up with the casserole, because that's just what we do. You show up with a little love, some flowers, whatever, to say, I'm here, I'm with you, I walk this. You open the letter from the doctor, and you read the actual diagnosis, and you deal with it. You say, this is the walk, I will walk. Because you are a new creation. You have been reconciled to God. And then you can put it down and go outside and listen to the birds. You can go put it down and see the earth come back to life right before your very eyes last week. And you can sing and you can celebrate. So Cesar Chavez gives us this beautiful bookends of showing us the suffering in prayer, but also bringing forth song and celebration. It's beautiful. It's poetic. Paul gives us the theological framework to do it because we are reconciled to Christ, therefore be reconciled to one another, and we are reconciling the world to God. But I actually take as much heart from a very secular source as I do from either of these. You remember Edward Abbey, 70s activist, environmental activist, troublemaker, big troublemaker, got himself in a whole lot of trouble. At the end of one of his books, after he's ranted and railed against everything that's happening in the world and compelling people to action to save the earth. At the end of this book, this is his quote. He says, and I have to edit it for public consumption. He was a salty fella. One final paragraph of advice. Do not burn yourself out. Be as I am, a reluctant enthusiast, a part-time crusader, a half-hearted fanatic. Save the other half of yourselves and your lives for pleasure and adventure. It is not enough to fight for the land. It is even more important to enjoy it while you can, while it's still here. So get out there and, in his version, hunt and fish. I kind of like that part. Mess around with your friends. Ramble over yonder and explore the forest. Climb the mountains. Bag the peaks. Run the rivers. Breathe the deep and yet sweet, lucid air. Sit quietly for a while and contemplate precious stillness, the lovely, mysterious, and awesome space. Enjoy yourselves. Keep your brain in your head and your head firmly attached to your body, and your body active and alive. And then he makes a promise. Cesar Chavez offers no promise in his prayer. Paul promises reconciliation. But I do like Edward Abbey's promise. And I promise you this. This one sweet victory over our enemies, over those desk-bound men and women with their hearts in safe deposit boxes and their eyes hypnotized by desk calculators. It's an old piece. I promise you this. You will outlive them. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.